Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Praise the Lord. I wasn't expecting to come up here again. I was enjoying what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Praise the Lord. That is very, very apt. And I think she has preached the message for the day. Let's just gist now. We're going to discuss and just gist. Because a lot of things probably I would have said, she has said them. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord will help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together in fellowship. And we thank you because this gathering is unto you alone. As we are gathered here, we pray that you speak to us in the language we understand. We pray that you grant us understanding, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Recently, I found out that the demand of God for us is just one thing. It's just one thing. One thing means everything to God. That one thing I'm talking to you about, it means praise, it means worship, it means adoration, it means thanksgiving, it means righteousness. That one thing is just obedience to the word of God. I have to use that example. When we come here to sing song to God, it is not there that God is drawing his worship. Because if that song is coming from a disobedient heart, what the Bible calls it? An abomination unto God. So when we sing songs, the songs are supposed to come out of the richness. Get to that understanding. He said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not despise. David prophesied the exact words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Exact words. The accuracy of that man, it's baffling. A man can travel in the spiritual realm and get, for somebody to get the exact words that the Messiah will say from his mouth. No. He must be on another level to be able to understand that kind of a thing, to have access to that kind of a thing. Praise the Lord. Please, on obedience to the word of God, that is all the worship God wants. That is all the love God wants from you. Okay, an axe may be very good. Maybe you have money. You go somewhere, maybe you go to motherless baby home and then spoil them silly, They eat the kind of food they have never eaten before. Then when you wanted to go, maybe you drop 100,000 or 1 million naira and then you are feeling pipe with yourself. Do you know that as soon as maybe the reason for why you are doing it is to earn a name for yourself, that motive makes what you have done, as good as it is, to become a sin in the eyes of God. So that is why what our pastor just said this morning is critical. Because what you feed yourself with changes your mind, changes the person you become. And I often say it here, it is what you have in your heart, understanding of who you are and your motives, why you do things, is what makes God a perfect judge. Do you understand? Yeah. He doesn't punish somebody based on the surface work the person has done. When he wants to punish a person, he doles out the accurate punishment for that person based on the motive with which that person does it. Now, if you are not careful, very soon you will think to carry camera around wherever you are going to do good is normal. Why? Your motive has changed. Why? Because there are people online now who want to go and give somebody a bag of rice. They carry camera. Follow me, camera. Leave camera. And but the word of God says, if you want to do any good thing, your left hand, as close as it is to your right hand, should not know. So that your Father that sees in secret will reward you what? Openly. So what we feed ourselves with, we don't know. It is changing your it is changing your motive. Your motive is changing. You don't know it. Your mind. And that is why Paul would say that we should what? Renew that mind. Why did he say we should renew that mind? Because it is we encounter the world every day. Do you understand? The possibility of things seeping into that mind and changing that mind is there, is it not? So, what do you use to renew your mind? The word of God. You use the word of God to reset every time so that you don't lose track. I'm telling you, a man may preach what looks like the gospel. The moment he adds a small lie, it may look like small. The congregation may not even know that he lied. Eh? But you don't know how far that lie will travel. Spiritual realms, things travel very far. You do something here, you don't know how far it will go. It was disobedience in the garden. But the land was cursed. The land was cursed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor, thank you very much. God bless you. So today, let me come back to where I'm supposed to. Praise the Lord. Before we continue the message. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Paul, the apostle. We'll take a small peek into the life of Paul. The title is supposed to be Saul versus Paul. But I don't want you to write that title. Amen. Don't write that title, I beg. Let's see, how do we coin this title now? The life of Paul. The life of Paul. So, because it will look like there was a time his name was Saul, and then he was changed to Paul. So we are extreme both sides of him. But the name of Saul was not changed. Do you understand? It's just the people that call him with different... Do you understand? Now, the Jews know him as Saul. Eh? So, but when he goes among the Greek, the Gentiles, they call him Paul. Do you understand? And that's the name they call him in among the Gentiles. And Paul likes taking advantage of such things, is it not? I'm everything to all men, so that by chance I'd be able to win some for the gospel. So when he comes to Antioch, when he goes to Corinth, they call him Paul. But when he gets back to Jerusalem, they call him Saul. Do you understand? But officially, his name was not changed. Praise the Lord. Because if you look at, I think, Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Acts 22, verse 3. So Paul said, then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. No, that's not the scripture I wanted to read. I don't know if I wrote it down, but I read it yesterday in Acts of the Apostles, where it says, Saul, also known as Paul, one of the sentences. Let me see if I can still get it. Acts 13, verse what? Verse 9, I think. Acts 13, verse 9. Saul, also, thank you very much. Saul, also known as what? As Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. That is where I wanted to look at. Do you understand? So he was called both names at the same time. Do you understand? He was called both names at the same time. But I think Paul became more popular. Why? Because most of his work was done in the Gentile region. Do you understand? And that's why he was called Paul the Apostle. So that's why I said, okay, don't write it like that, so that it doesn't mean as if it will look as if we are extreme. But even though we are going to x-ray a portion of his life before he got saved and after he got saved. Praise the Lord. All right? So let's read Acts chapter 6. Let's start from 7. I don't want to bore us with too much reading today. Acts 7, verse 54. No, let's start. Let's read Acts 6. Acts 6. 6:33 to 42. It's 7, I think. 7. Is it me or my Bible is misbehaving? Eh? Doesn't have. The Acts, the book I opened is Acts. But I'm seeing the story of Moses here. Uh-huh. So let's go to our 754. Okay. All right. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage because Stephen preached a gospel. He was bearing witness of Christ Jesus, and he offended the Pharisees and the leaders and the teachers of the law. And then they brought him to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest decision-making body in Israel then. So while he was defending himself, the people got angry. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations because he pointed out hands at them that they were the ones that crucified Jesus. You know? And they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats, and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. That was the first time Saul's name was mentioned. So as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. I think King James Version said he slept, right? Yes. He said he slept. Praise the Lord. So there was somebody who was there, who was supervising the stoning of Stephen. And his name was who? Saul. His name was Saul. There are sometimes we don't participate in some evil. He was not part of those who were stoning him. But he stood there and they dropped. He was now guiding their coats for them. But sometimes we approve of the things that other people do, the wrong things that people do. It does not, how do you call it now? It does not remove us from that same sin. You don't do it, but you approve of those who do it. Praise the Lord. For me, this scripture is one of the things that make me not to give compliments very quickly. And then somebody dressed anyhow. You know, women do that a lot. Somebody is dressing like a prostitute and he says, you're looking hot. Hot waiting. That person is going to make a lot of people commit sin in their heart. And you have approved of it. You have approved of it. So when I see a sister that is supposed to dress like a sister and is dressing like somebody I don't know, I'm not going to talk anything. No. So if I don't give you that kind of compliment, no vex, so, because I don't want to approve of what is not good. So Paul was standing there. He was supervising. I think at that time, Paul was a Pharisee. Do you understand? Yeah, he was a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel advised the council, the Sanhedrin council, one time. See, this thing you people are trying to quench. Be careful, though. He mentioned some examples of people that they have killed before. Judas, one Judas like that, not Judas Iscariot. He mentioned some other names. And he said, we killed those ones. And their movement ended. Do you understand? And their revolution now ceased. Do you understand? But this one, the ogre has died. But they are still growing. Let us be careful so that we are not fighting against God. That man was wise. And I'm suspecting that he must have sat down to listen to what Jesus actually taught. Do you understand? Even though he could not. You know, sometimes people will know the truth. But the circles in which they belong to. Yeah, the shame. Or maybe the privileges of that position. If I come out now, I won't take survive. Somebody like Nicodemus was like that. Yeah, they're there now. That's why he came in the night. Why would he come in the night if something's not already happening in his heart? He's already considering, because Paul cannot just stand up and start killing people. Do you understand? They must have x-rayed the message of these people. Do you understand? You know, he said he has come to establish a new kingdom. And the other day we saw them on Sabbath. His disciples were plucking corn. They didn't observe the Sabbath. This man is coming to ruin our law, the laws of Moses. Do you understand? They must have x-rayed it. If not, why would they come to a conclusion that is what? It is heresy. And the people have to die for it. They must have sat down. Praise the Lord. But Jesus Christ said something to Thomas. Maybe I'm going ahead too fast. Let me slow down a little and let's follow it step by step. All right, so we see that Paul stood there when they were stoning Stephen. He did not stone, but he approved. He was supervising. So like I said, he was a Pharisee. He was a student of Gamaliel. Do you understand? And Gamaliel was one of the top Pharisees then. All right? So, but there's something that happened there. Stephen prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, at that point in time, if you ask Saul that prayer was for you, he will not agree. And I'm very sure that part of the reasons why God used Saul was because of that prayer. If Stephen had prayed like the way we pray this day, I don't think. Praise the Lord. The message there is that there is no offense that is too much to forgive. The message there is that even at the point of the, I don't know, has anybody been stoned to death? No. Okay. Has anybody? Praise. Has anybody here been stoned before? Maybe somebody, when you were small, somebody threw a stone and the thing broke your head. If you experience that kind of thing, let me see your hand up. Can you tell us how you felt like? Only one stone, right? How did you feel like? Was it funny? It was very painful. How about you? Very painful. Eh? Dislocated. Praise the Lord. One stone. Maybe the stone was a small one. Eh? A small one. Not to talk of men carrying rocks. No, can you? I just want to paint the picture so I can understand what the middle of what Stephen was at that point in time. Yet, you must have been full of the love of God. The kind of love that God has for humanity to utter that kind of prayer. And that was why before he died, God comforted him. No, that vision he had was a comfort from the Lord. God said, don't worry. No, King James used the word, he slept. I'm sure while he was seeing that vision, he wasn't feeling the pains of those stones. He wasn't. God had to shift him in the spiritual realm, you know? So the body was suffering, but he was in the glory. You understand? He was seeing things. And I assure you that if you are in that realm, you will not want to come back. And King James said he slept. Praise the Lord. So what is that somebody has done to you? I say, this one, oh, I can never forgive. I know as I'm talking, just go to your mind. Just go to your mind. It is the word of God. The word of God searches the depth of our hearts. Jonathan, it goes even down to the bone marrow. Discern thoughts, you know. Praise the Lord. There's a load you have been carrying for years now. The Lord is calling you to drop it. It is not good for you to carry that kind of a load. It will cut your life short. So forgiveness, first of all, is not more important to the person being forgiven. I don't know if I'm saying the correct English, but if you're in the spirit, you should be able to understand what I'm saying. Eh? Forgiveness is more important to the forgivee, the forgiver, right? No, the forgivee is the person receiving it, right? You like my English? Praise the Lord. So the person you are forgiving, is not more of the beneficiary of that forgiveness than you. Let me describe one scenario for you now. When you see that person that has offended you deeply, how do you feel? Bitterness, anger. How do you feel? Your heart rate spiked. I'm telling you, when you see that person who hurt you badly, your heart rate increases. Next time, try it and see. Praise the Lord. No, just am I lying? If you are conscious enough to touch your heart that time, as if you just ran 100 meters. Am I sounding strange? Praise the Lord. So if you have the tendency to forgive easily, give thanks to God for it. That somebody does something, you just go your way. Eh? Just be thanking God for it. There are some people that they don't forgive easily. So one of the prayer points today is, Lord, give me a heart of what? Forgiveness. And that was the message that Stephen demonstrates for us today. He knelt down. He said, Father, do not hold this sin against them. Do you know why he had to pray that prayer? You know, earlier I said God searches the intents of the heart. So all of them who were stoning him, do you know what the name God was calling them? Murderers. He was not seeing them as people who are fighting for the faith. No. He's calling them what? Murderers. One, they rejected Christ. Two, they are killing saints. And one of the greatest persons in the scripture is Paul, who was what? A murderer. Praise the Lord. You know, as we are x-raying the life of Paul, we should, our spirit should be x-raying our own hearts too. Do you understand? So that we draw the message that Christ is passing across to us today. All right. So we have established that Paul was there while they were stoning Stephen, right? And Stephen prayed for him. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go to okay, let's read chapter 8. Let's continue the reading. Chapter 8. And Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. Which translation? Okay, this is NLT. This is NLT. Let me see what NIV has to say here. And Saul approved. Saul was there giving approval to his death. And Saul approved of their killing him. This is my NIV. Yeah? Okay, different edition. Okay. And Saul approved of their killing. Yes, praise the Lord. So Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out. From that singular incident, the thing spread. You know how NSAS started. It started from Lagos. Before he knew it, he came to Enugu. So persecution started, broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. So those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, proclaimed the Messiah there. And then when the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things I want to establish from here is the fact that the word of God is not a dormant force. When I say dormant, or it's not a potential energy. I don't know how many of you are science students here. Science, you understand what is called potential energy, right? Energy that is not doing any work. Eh? The word of God is not energy at rest. And don't keep him at rest. The word of God is what? A dynamic force. It's a kinetic energy. If you try to keep the word of God down, it will attract death. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you come every time and you are receiving the word of God, you are not opening your mouth one day to discuss Jesus with somebody. That thing you are receiving, if you are not careful, it will bring death to you. Why? Because every believer in Christ has two mandates upon his life. It is not only the person that stands there to preach that is a preacher of the gospel. First mandate, we're called to be with Jesus. That's to stay on the word of God. Second mandate is to go out and preach the gospel. That is why you are where you are working. That is why you are a student where you are a student. That is why you are a businessman in the market. So any customer that comes to you and does not hear the name Jesus from your mouth, you are just like every other carnal person. The name Jesus must be seen in what? Your actions and your word. A man is known by the multitude of his words. Do you understand? If you want to know somebody, the way he talks, you can easily know the person. Eh? So, if I hear the way you sound, I can know where you belong to. If you hear a cultist, when they are talking, you can easily know. Is it not? They don't speak normal pidgin English. You know? When they say they want to leave you now, they say, I want to see you. If not, AI guy, they will say, I want to fly. So, when they begin to use those kind of words, you know where they belong to. Praise the Lord. So, the word from somebody describes the person. Amen? That's why the Bible says, out of the... Exactly. So, and you know that this life we are in is a life... we are fighting a battle of identity. So, to be a proper Christian, you have to have proper identification of yourself. Who are you? When they say, who are you? How do you define yourself? Do you start by saying, I am from around this world? Is that any place? Okay. That's how they used to call Gringo the Akabogo. The honorable poor man of around this world. Praise the Lord. By the way, don't start by defining yourself from your earthly listing. Okay? You should find your identity in Christ Jesus. Hello? All right. So, what I was saying was that the word of God is a dynamic force. Don't keep it locked down. Don't keep it what? Locked down. Don't just come and benefit. The church should not just build a fine auditorium, put AC, and then just gather every time. No missionary work, no discipleship program, no evangelism program, nothing. When I was growing up in the 80s, we used to hear of missionaries who go up to the north. Is it not? To preach the gospel. So, in some churches, once in a year, they welcome those missionaries back and they give them a treat. Do you understand? And then they send them off again. So, if you go to the north now, most of the churches that are in the inner lands, of which some of them have been, most of them have been burnt now because of all these things, they are churches that were established in the 80s. Do you understand? So, but from the 90s, when there was an explosion of this, something they call prosperity gospel, of which I don't like calling it the gospel, because there's no gospel like prosperity gospel. When we talk about gospel, we're talking about Jesus, the gospel about Jesus alone. Do you understand? So if you are teaching money, that's your business. I don't know what you want to call it. But for me, the gospel I know is all about one person. And that is who? Jesus. He's the only one who has power to change the man's heart. And of which that is the greatest miracle there is. Praise the Lord. So when we even go out on evangelism, we should not count ourselves, because we know plenty of scriptures, to be people who will change the heart of those listening to us. We should rely on Jesus, because no human being has capacity to change another person. Praise the Lord. So Philip went out, and as he went out, started preaching, people started giving their lives to Jesus. Miracles were happening. Demons were being cast out. So as they went out, so as they were persecuted and they went out with who? With Christ Jesus. And they started spreading the gospel of Christ. So every time you wake up in the morning, as you are going out, just pray. I used to pray that prayer many years ago. Lord, as I'm going out, give me one person to share the gospel with. I used to pray for one person. So imagine that all of us do that kind of prayer and we are conscious of it throughout the day. That as I'm going out, Lord, let me speak the gospel to one person. One, just one. You do that one, you give thanks to God and come back home. Do you understand? Imagine how the world would have been by now. But because we are not doing that, we stop going out, and then we build massive churches with AC everywhere, and we are gathered. And then when those who have zeal for their God, small g, start taking over, we are crying that we are being persecuted. If you don't want, they will take it, is it not? Our wanting is that we step out and preach the gospel. That is what our wanting is. If we must take the land, if this world must be changed for Christ, we have to go out. We can't keep the gospel locked down. And that was what happened to them. When the Holy Spirit came, they became comfortable in Jerusalem until persecution started. The persecution was the will of God. The persecution was the will of God. So it is not every trouble that comes to you that is from Satan. Do you understand me? Satan may be the person that executes the problem, but God commanded Satan to give you problem. I don't know if you understand it. So that certain things inside of you will come out. God has called you before you were conceived in your mother's womb to be somebody in Christ Jesus. And because of fear, because of lack of the Holy Spirit, or because of timidity, you keep it down. So what will happen? God will orchestrate trouble to come. And Satan is always ready. The reason why I said that is Job. Remember Job, right? Was it Satan that brought trouble to Job or God? It doesn't come out easily from our mouth, right? Is it Satan or God? Eh? Mm-hmm. Satan was on his own. Every day was passing by the house of Job. He knows that Job is in no-go area. Is it not? And then God said, hey, come. Satan also they passed every day. Do you know who they are? I know. I'm going to give him trouble. In less than 1 hour, Job lost everything. But he didn't lose his wife. Meanwhile, Satan had told God that if I give him trouble, he will curse your name. He will deny you, Nana. Do you know why Satan did not take the wife of Job? Because he needed a human being to continue the pressure. He left her there for more pressure. Jonathan, Job was suffering pressure from every side. He lost his family, lost his wealth, lost everything, lost his skin. Jonathan, he had pains. Job said, when it is night, I wish for morning. When it is morning, I wish for night. There was sore all over his body. And then Satan will come through his wife. My husband, curse God and just die so that all this trouble will end. That was why Satan left the wife. If not, she might have followed the children to party and everything. That kind of thing. Praise the Lord. No, but what am I saying? If we must live the kind of life God wants us to live on this earth, we cannot see every trouble as a bad thing. And that's why the Bible says that everything work together. That everything, it includes the bad, the good, and the ugly. Did God not say that what the enemy planned for evil for you, I do what? Only for good. That is it. So sometimes when you are passing through some things and you are saying, Satan, I bind you. Satan, I bind you. Satan, I bind you. And you think no shake. You know, in one of his promises in Isaiah, he said, when you walk through the rivers, it will not overflow you. When you pass through the waters, you will not drown. When you go through the fire, it will not kindle on you, is it not? And I started thinking to myself, I said, why you not save the person from the river and the waters and the fire? And it reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was it difficult for God to quench the fire? He joined them in the fire. That's to confirm what he said in Isaiah. He said, I will be with you. So somebody said that insecurity is not because of the bandits. No. It is because God is not there. Security is only where God is. So when you have God, no matter the trouble, you will go through it. Praise the Lord. Am I preaching what I'm supposed to preach today? Is somebody being blessed? So when we go through certain trials, let us know that God is with us. That's why I said, in everything, give what? Give thanks. When you pass through diverse what? Trials. He said, do what? Count it all what? Joy. Because it is working what? Out patience in you. And patience is what God wants everybody to get. Even though some people think patience is a bad thing. So I told you of one girl that her name was Patience, and she said one man of God said she should change the name from Patience to, is it to Love or to Joy or something like that. And I said, this man of God does not know scriptures. Can you bring up children if you don't have patience? Can you deal with some colleagues in the office if you don't have patience? Even some customers, they can give you monkey. You know what monkey is? Trouble. If you don't have patience, can you deal with those kind of people? And yet somebody is saying patience is not a good thing. Bible says that he that endures to the end shall do what? Shall be saved. And endurance is a form of patience. It's a high degree of patience, right? Amen. All right, let me come back to Paul. So we are looking at Paul. We have seen how that Paul was a persecutor of the church. Acts chapter 9. Let's look at the other side of Paul now. Acts chapter 9 from verse 3. So Paul continued his enterprise of killing saints and imprisoning them. And he started on the journey towards Damascus. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul. Did you see? Even the Lord called him Saul. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And pause. And Saul, who are you? Asked Saul. Or Saul asked, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Then men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. So, while he was there, the Lord went to meet the prophet Ananias and said, there's one Saul of Tarsus in Damascus. Go and pray for him. Let him receive his sight. And there was something Jesus told the prophet Ananias. Yes, in verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Praise the Lord. The call of Paul was not funny. Say, did you just come meet me? Say, oh boy, prepare your life. For now on, till you die, you go, they suffer for me. Oh, we'll negotiate that thing again. Praise the Lord. But then, when the presence of the Lord comes to you, every flesh submits to it. You can't hold back. Praise the Lord. From the first call, immediately Paul responded, who are you, Lord? No introduction. When you hear the voice of the Lord, the Bible says, do what? Do not harden your heart. So you see how dramatic the call of Paul is. It has to be this dramatic because he has heard the gospel before. Do you understand? He has. They have discussed it before. But they say since it was against the Torah, which they are custodians of. We are the custodians of Torah. We are the keepers of the laws of Moses. Moses is our father. Don't touch this law. Since it was contrary to the law, they decide to say, whoever say anything against it should die. So basically, Paul thought he was serving the Lord. Amen? God said, no, he's my instrument to the what? To the Gentiles. And when he started preaching to the Gentiles, they didn't call him the Hebrew name, which is what? Saul. They called him what? Paul. So when he went to them, he introduced himself to them as what? As Paul. So that's why you see his letter to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to the Galatians. He always introduced himself as what? Paul. A born servant of what? Of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying here? We are saying that there is no depth of sin that you have been in your life that cannot be forgiven. For many of us, the sin we committed 20 years is still limiting us from yielding completely to Christ. Every time we hear sound message like this, we want to stand up in the might of that gospel, we are held back. But I'm telling you that God is not looking at that sin. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins are what? Have been forgiven. When the people came to Jerusalem for Passover, and then the Holy Spirit came, I think on the Pentecost, right? And the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And then they came out and Peter spoke. And those who they came to the disciples and said, what must we do? What did Peter do? He said, turn from your sin and turn to God. He didn't say they should do anything about the sin. He just said, turn what? From your sin. And then turn to God. And then be baptized. And then you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. He didn't say they should go back to make restitution. He didn't say they should go back, you know. So restitution, how do you restitute for somebody? Maybe you broke his head that time. Or maybe you have killed somebody like Paul before. How do you restitute for that person? Peter said, men and brethren, turn from your sins. And turn to what? The moment you turn from your sin, God wipes it out. But when you keep your sin before you, it remains before you. Once you turn from it and turn to God, God does what? Wipes it out. So that sin that is holding you bound is a lie of Satan.
And one good thing about Paul, as soon as he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, he quickly submitted. It was easy for him because he has heard about Jesus before. They have discussed Jesus in the council before. Gamaliel and him, they have discussed Jesus. They have said, these people are preaching some weird gospel. I think you need to go after them. I need to go after them. But now that he has seen the same master whom he has been persecuting, he quickly did what? Surrender. Some of us have been hearing this gospel a long time ago. We are not surrendering. Surrender. Surrender before they break your leg. Praise the Lord. Surrender. Let the Lord take over every part of your life. Surrender. Let every hardness be broken. Surrender. And as soon as he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, who are you, Lord? And if you call anybody Lord, that is a sign of what? Submission. Is it not? The sign of submission. It's a sign of submission. Paul quickly submitted. And then from there, his life never remained the same again. You know, Paul gave the account of the Last Supper. None of the disciples did. This communion we share now. Paul gave an accurate description of what happened that night. And he was not there. Praise the Lord. And that happened only because of the encounter which he had with Christ Jesus. Christ told him, on that night I was crucified, this was what happened to him. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? I think it's 11. Chapter 11, you see there. He said, on the night which he was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it. As if he was just saying everything word for word. So the same thing that happened to David. You know, David went into the spiritual realm, got the words of Jesus Christ, and wrote them in Psalms. And when Jesus Christ came, he recited exactly the same thing. That was what happened to Paul. Paul said, I know of a man who was taken into what? The third heaven. The way he said it, he said it in the third person, right? But he was referring to himself. There are certain things that God has shown him that he could not put in writing. So that how far Paul went. The same zeal with which he had to protect the Torah, he transferred even more to the gospel. Why? Because he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is preventing you from encountering the Lord Jesus Christ? What is that thing? Jesus is alive. And he gave what? Gift to men. He rose from the grave and he gave gift to men. So the proof that he's alive is the transformed life which we have now. That we are changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light is because Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. If he did not rise from the grave, then would have been of all men most miserable. He's alive. To make sure that the will is what effected. Jesus Christ is the only person where I saw. He wrote a will. And then he died so that the will can be activated. Then he rose again from the grave to enforce the will. God is good. Somebody say Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I am transformed because he's alive. So this, you know, our sister was praying. He said that Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Let me just read it so that I don't misquote it. 8:2. Let's start from 1. So therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gave life has set us free. Who gives life has set us free from the law of what? Of sin and death. So every time you sin, you are operating a law that its end is death. Do you understand? But the law of life, that life, because the Bible said that when Jesus rose from the grave, he became a life-giving what? Spirit. So that, just like God breathed life into clay and he became Adam, so also Christ rose from the grave and breathed what? Eternal life into us. Hallelujah. So the life we have because we have come to Christ now is eternal life. Is that life that is one with God? Is that life that cannot be truncated? Is that life that is beyond boundaries? Jonathan, beyond boundaries. Philip left the eunuch, and the next moment he was where? In Samaria. It is because we are not walking in that life. That's why we are not seeing the manifestation. That's why we are not seeing it. And Pastor said, why? We are distracted. Social media. Social media is distracting us. And the way they have written this algorithm is to make sure that the distraction lasts. You say, let me quickly check my Facebook. The next time you raise your head, 4 hours, don't go. 4 hours. So there are times in 24 hours we cannot account for. But the only thing that will make the life of Christ in us to manifest, that will bring us to the place of maturity, that will bring us to the place of access to God, we deny it. So our spirit is growing lean like this. We are growing chubby in our body. Our spirit is... Praise the Lord. Say, may the Lord help me to love him so that beyond social media, I'll have time with him. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus was not mistaken when he called only 12. Why? Because the power of God through one person is massive. One with God is what? It's majority. One with God is majority. So 12 was enough to turn the world right side up. So will you give yourself to Jesus? And that distraction of social media is not the only distraction. Like I said one time, our troubles are distractions. Satan make you to look at your troubles. You can look at your trouble and look at it from morning till night. The problem is not solving and you are looking at it. It's a distraction. Why not say, despite my troubles, I will delight in your laws. Psalm 119. Teach me your laws, O Lord, that I might live. See, my enemies surround me, yet my heart will delight in your precepts. Praise the Lord. That is what we should do. When you have trouble, take your eyes off it. Come and stay in the place of the word. Like I said, the trouble may make sense. You may be able to explain it. It is logical. But it's still a distraction. It is still. Your child is sick. Oh, we are running up and down. It is still a distraction. Praise the Lord. My time is up, see? That same Paul who was a killer, who was the one who said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, if any man will have the courage, to turn to God needs courage. Do you know that? To do what is right needs courage. You may be somewhere now, and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. It's tugging at your heart. But because of the circle you are in, if I do like this now, they will say, I'll be mother of Jesus. So because you don't want to tag, you don't want to be tagged a name. Or they will call you holier than thou. So you remain in the circle. And you are limiting the Holy One of Israel. The one who has the capacity to change your life. To make you to become that person that you should be in Christ Jesus. You are limiting his power. The Lord Jesus Christ said, those who are ashamed of me now, he said, on that day, I'll be ashamed of them. When I enter, the way he used to annoy me, when I enter a vehicle, and then all those people come, and they are saying, shh, you think they pay me? All those people. You know them. You don't know them. They are laughing. Some people enter, they will say, they call. Anywhere they go to, as they are coming, they are muttering things. We should be doing it more than they. We should be doing it more than they copied it from the Israelites. But we now, who know, who have the word of life, the covenant we operate now is superior to the covenant of Moses. Do you know that? The covenant of Moses could not achieve what God had in mind. That was why he did another covenant with Jesus Christ, of which we are beneficiaries. This covenant now is a new and everlasting covenant. Praise the Lord. So the shift in Paul's life happened because what? He encountered Jesus. Have you ever encountered Jesus? Some of you, Jesus has come several times, but you refuse to let him in. Several times. The reason why the Lord had to encounter Paul was because Paul has heard about Jesus before, but he didn't do anything about it. He saw it as what? Heresy. Do you understand? But Jesus told Thomas, he said, blessed is he who has not what? Who has not seen yet what? Believe. So if you take the Bible and you are reading and Jesus is speaking to your heart, that's an encounter. But a lot of us, we are looking for the kind of encounter that Paul had. Hi, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see. No! He has spoken through his son already. And it has been what? Documented for us. So when you open your Bible to read, prepare your mind to meet the Lord. He said, he is a word, is it not? Jesus is the word of life. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And we have that word. And we are not allowing the word to encounter. We are not allowing ourselves to encounter the word. We want, how do you call it, spectacular encounter. When Jesus Christ will just walk through the world like this. No. Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who have not what? Seen. You have the encounter in your hands. But social media is more interesting. Eh? Very dark man, don't lock somebody for prison. Hey! Blessing CEO, they don't arrest him. He, let me go and read comment. Then in comment, you spend 1 hour there. He said, meanwhile, the word of Jesus is calling. He says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open, I and my father will come and what? Sup with him. Praise the Lord. Paul became who he is in Christ Jesus because he encountered the living. And he did not wait. He did not waste time. Instantly, he took off. So no one is too far gone in sin for the living Jesus to reach and repurpose. If every time you want to do something for the Lord and your past life keep resurfacing, it means you have not surrendered it to Jesus. It means you are believing the lies of Satan. If not, by now some of us have become powerful ministers and doing great things for the Lord. But we keep believing the lies of Satan. You keep asking yourself, will Satan make use of somebody like me? No, your sins have been forgiven. The day you turn to Jesus, it has been wiped out. Repent. Do not go back to it again. So that the days of refreshing will come. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is happening, though. Don't say I did not tell you. Repent. Go to Jesus. He has the power to wipe away every lie, to shut the mouth of Satan. In fact, it doesn't need to shut the mouth of Satan. What you need is what change what you believe in. When Adam and Eve fell, the question God asked, who told you? So what you should be listening is what God is saying. The moment you fill yourself with what God is saying, you will not have time to listen to the lies of Satan. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Are you a new creation? Or are you still allowing yourself to believe the lies of Satan? Some of us, if we can leave social media for 1 week, let's see, replace social media with the Bible. Anytime you feel like taking your phone and going to TikTok, just carry your Bible. Self-control. You see why self-control is a fruit of the Spirit? Because some of us don't know, we are used to carrying it already. Our hand is like this. You know, people that play guitar always, if you notice them, people that are masters in playing guitar, if you notice them, their hand don't shift too. You know, they normal again. When they are walking, just unconsciously they do like this. Unconsciously they do like this. Why? It's because they are always on guitar. Unconsciously they do them like this. When they are alone, they are playing one music in their mind. Even if they are not with guitar. Praise the Lord. Unconsciously they are like this. Even people that play piano, when they are in your house on the table sometimes, don't you play some keys? Invisible keys. You just see them do like this. That is how it should be. And that is how it is for those who are constantly having their phone. Before you know, the way they manipulate the phone with one hand, you won't believe it. Sometimes I have to hold my phone in two hands too. They are masters already. Master the Bible like that. So that somebody say good morning, say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. No more. They say, how are you? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my keeper. He sustained me by his mighty right hand. They say, okay, see you tomorrow. And I said, the Lord will keep you till tomorrow. Say, guys, not only they go to church. I belong to the family of God. Praise the Lord. The thing that makes us different is the kind of laws that we keep. What makes us different from other people is the kind of laws we keep. And the laws of God, they are not burdensome. It is because our heart desires sin. That is why it looks burdensome. A man falls into temptation when he is overtaken by what? By the lust of his heart. So the only thing that can remove those laws is what? The word of God. It is the word of God. That is the answer to every problem you have. No matter the color of the problem. It is the word of God. Go to the word of God and you will see the solution to your word. To to your problem, I mean. But we neglect it because we are not preachers. We don't come on stage to preach. Me, I don't envy coming here to start to preach. Where I do my own exploits, one-on-one. Praise the Lord. Discuss the word of God. When you walk into some places, they should keep quiet. Evil should not come up. Why? Because you are there. And make sure they know. When I come, like I say, evil, you don't want to repent. Repent. Even if you don't say anything, just tell them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And start going. You have sown a seed. That was the message of John the Baptist now. Was it not so? After John the Baptist died, Jesus continued with that same message. Repent now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Praise the Lord. I pray that by the grace of God, our mindset will change from here. The Lord will make us, give us the grace to turn away from every lie of Satan. In the name of Jesus. We believe too much lies. I'm telling you the truth. We believe too much lies. Too much. In Jesus' name. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Forever I will sing.
Let's rise up. Let's rise up.
The mercy of the Lord. With my mouth, with my mouth, will I make known your faithfulness, your faithfulness. With my mouth, will I make known your
to speak to the Lord. Begin to draw of the mercy of God. Let that mercy, that past life you have lived, let the mercy of God wash. Let it wash. Let it wash. Let it wash over your heart. Paul was a murderer. He was a murderer. Maybe you have removed children, or you have done something terrible like that before. Ask for the mercy of God. Let that mercy lift you up. Let it wash you clean. Say, Lord, I surrender myself. I am tired of being inhibited by my failures, by my sin. I am tired of being set down by timidity and lack of confidence and faith. Lord, take away this burden from me. I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. Like you washed Paul up, wash me up. Wash me clean. Forgive me. I turn from my iniquity. I turn from my iniquity. I turn from my iniquity. I turn from every sin that easily beset me. I turn from every sin that easily beset me. I turn to you, Jesus. Let your light shine upon me. Let your light shine upon me. Let it blot out every darkness in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your children, Lord. Thank you for every one of them who lift their eyes to you. And are looking forward to draw from your mercy. Lord, let it be sufficient for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus will wipe every sinful heart clean this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that we will step forward and step out like Paul the apostle. And do exploits for the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus. We will become what you have designed us to be in Christ Jesus. We will not disappoint in the mighty name of Jesus. So that when we come before you, we will say, welcome, that good and faithful servant. Come into the rest which has been prepared for you. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.